Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today we're sitting down with Larry Scheffler, co-founder and co-CEO of Planet 13, to talk about their most recent expansion into Florida and what the future of the brand holds. This conversation was recorded over the phone on September 13th, 2023.
First massive acquisition with VitaCann in the Florida market. Now, I know originally you guys had stated always having the intention of moving into the Florida market. I believe that you guys had been leasing dispensary space within the Florida market. What was kind of the impetus to finally make you guys make the move for this type of large-scale acquisition? Was it more along the lines of the fact that you believe that the Florida market's going to finally switch to recreational / adult use, or was this just the perfect deal and you're willing to wait out the legislative side?
Well, first of all, no, we were committed. We bought a license. We have 23 acres in Ocala. Mm-hmm. That with a 65,000 square foot building on the ground ready to erect for our grow facility and production facility. And we're currently working on, working on four dispensary sites that we're building out. That'll be open by the end of the year. And we were looking at another 11 sites. Mm-hmm. Now, with all of that, of course, that's a lot of capital to expend. Mm-hmm. Thank God we have it in the bank. The only probably public company that has it with zero debt. But to put another $20,000 into a grow, another $10,000 into all the dispensaries, when we're able to buy a company at the size of it is with VitaCann, with the operators who we just love and they think like we do, we thought, what a great opportunity for us to join forces and take a larger leap, take the money we're going to expend in Florida, put it back in the bank, right? Mm-hmm. Make it as healthier than ever, selling the land again that we had already paid for. We think it's a great combination for the future. We'll have we should have 30 then open by the end of the year, 26 with the merger, but four more. So it's a great leap. And then, yes, we believe that in 2024, November, it'll go into recreational Florida, and it'll be fantastic. With that, along with the talking now about getting safe banking and then possibly Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, but even safe banking would be a game changer for anybody in the cannabis industry.
Of course.
It's such a punishing 280E. It's just silly how bad it is. So.
Well, and the ability to have, especially with large-scale multi-state operators such as yourself, I mean, the ability to have global intellectual property that you can federally trademark, obviously the whole 280E implications and everything and safe banking and, people like Canada being able to expend on the international stage their intellectual property. So you feel like Florida is going to fall in 2024 to adult use? And what is your thought process as far as federal reclassification? Obviously, you had mentioned the Schedule 3 recommendation. Do you believe that the DEA is going to adopt the recommendation?
They could. There's so many talking heads talking about, even with safe banking, they may still get rid of 280E under safe banking. Other ones say, no, they'll have to wait till they get rid of Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. We're not really great fans of Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 because Schedule 3 still allows the FDA to monitor it. And now everybody may have to fall under the regulations of the FDA, which could be punishing. We'd rather deschedule it completely, right? Have it like alcohol, get it out the federal level and treat it like alcohol. Every state monitors and does its own laws like they currently do. That would absolutely be the best. And of course, it'd be life-changing for everybody if that happened. But even safe banking and getting rid of 280E, that's the first big bite that would just be fantastic if we could do that. We also get something like 30% be able to use credit cards. Uh-huh. With our analysis. That's how much more in sales we would think every dispensary could do, just because, especially in Vegas, you come down here, you have so much money, and you can use a credit card and say, I'll pay it off later. And they tend to spend it a little easier when it's on the credit card and have a good time rather than enjoying it down here. So.
Well, and the ability to, you know, garner points with your purchases and avoiding ATM fees, which is notorious at a lot of dispensaries.
In order
just to get the cash. And it makes it a safer option, again, for you as operators, having to have that much cash on hand, especially, you know, looking at the California markets and what's going on in Central and Northern California with cash robberies. I mean, it would absolutely change the security of the totality of the industry. Do you believe that you know, if this Schedule 3 recommendation does not happen, as far as the DEA taking that recommendation and rescheduling, do you believe that eventually we will move towards a legalized federal market within the next, say, 5 years? And that if we don't have this descheduling happen, this rescheduling happen, do you believe that it will become descheduled under a federal legalization?
I do. I think in the next 5 years, our biggest concern right now, like I've said, is safe banking and getting rid of 280E. Mm. Our company has paid $60 million in 280E excess taxes at the IRS because of that regulation. That normally is the profit, 20 to 21% that we're paying under 280E. That's normally the profit of any company operating, 20 to 25%. Right. So they're actually, the federal government at this point is sucking that out of the lifeblood of the cannabis industry, which is just terrible.
I mean, with all the talk on the state level, especially from, I mean, we heard from the AG in California saying that regulations are too strict and it's strangleholding individual brands and, say, smaller scale operators from being able to be financially solvent. Do you think that the states that have put forward legalization or medical bills, if this rescheduling doesn't happen, do you think that the states will start fighting the federal government, trying to get them to do something?
Well, we would hope so. We've seen a bigger, a more fighting the federal government with their own representatives from the state of Nevada, which is very, you know, refreshing to see. Mm-hmm. They literally have called, especially my partner, who's the attorney, and I'm more the creative guy. Talked to him and asked him even about testifying in front of the Senate committee for safe banking and so on. So hopefully that would, and again, that hasn't happened before, for them to reach out to us and ask us. You know, my partner would testify before it and talk about why it's so important and why we need to get it done now. That's a big plus for us. The thing, and I'll jump over real quick. You said something about Florida. Yep. I think if the vote goes on, it will pass overwhelmingly. The problem is the attorney general in Florida is looking for any nonsensical, because of her thoughts on marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
Any nonsensical thing she can do to try to stop the vote again. Well, what are you so scared about? If the people want it and the people vote, don't you work for the people?
Oh, 100%.
Why are you trying to do this? What is it? It's unbelievable.
Well, I also believe that Ron DeSantis was quoted saying that he would try to, you know, fight against legalization if it did pass a ballot. Do you think that that was more, say, political posturing, and that, you know, like, they'll actually move towards the will of the people if it does get legalized for recreational use? Or do you think that Florida might have a lengthy legal battle on its hands between the legislative side and the people of the state?
As far as DeSantis goes, I think there's posturing. I think if the people decided to vote based on his past history, I think he would sign it. Mm-hmm. I don't have that fear myself.
Well, when you're looking at your Florida expansion, obviously all of your past stores, including your massive original opening here in Clark County in Las Vegas, your experiential superstore in Southern California, your Florida acquisition, it seems to be, are you guys trying to do the massive superstore model with all these dispensaries as far as a rebuild, or are you guys going to do smaller scale dispensaries and just have your flagships in, say, strategic regional locations?
Yeah, just the last letter that you just said, we cannot have that many superstores. It doesn't it won't support it. So those would be, for lack of a better term, a neighborhood store, Planet 13 neighborhood store. That is more like the 2,500 to 3,500 square feet. A little different, again, experiential type thing. We always like to go a little bit over the top. So people will, you know, will come over and say, did you see that at this one? Oh, my God, they did a great job. But all of those will be, like I say, neighborhood stores. And then we hope our first super show would be Miami. In the Orlando, probably second, and then Tampa, St. Petersburg, third area, and that would be the maximum that you would ever do in Florida for three superstores.
Well, and you guys are amazing when it comes to experiential. What would the customer experience, what would be the differential between the customer experience at, say, your Las Vegas superstore, where obviously you have a lot going on with your bistro and the restaurant and the on-site manufacturing, and like it's more of an all-day thing. What would that experience for the consumer change with, say, a neighborhood location?
The neighborhood would be a lot smaller, but it'll be just the mental experience on whether we do graphics or whether we do something inside to go. That's so different each time just even the way we design it and the way you walk in and your experience, just why you're in there. It won't be anything close to a superstore. Well, we want a lot more gingerbread and mind altering without taking our product and then use our product later when you get home. But it will, each one will be just a little bit different. It'll be nothing close to the superstore though, but they'll still be great locations. And all the ones that we just got from VitaCan, we've talked with them, and we love those people. They even talk about slowly we'll transition into a 13-type neighborhood store project that we're all working on together. We haven't finalized everything yet, but we love going over the top on everything for the person's experience. Everybody wants to be entertained some way, and it's our job to entertain them, and that's what we think we do best.
Well, and I would absolutely agree with that. I can honestly say when I saw you guys in your opening of your Las Vegas location, I mean, I don't think, and to this day, I don't think there is another dispensary that exists that has a light show via drone. but when you're looking at kind of you know, the heart and the soul behind Planet 13. Like, I know when I first talked with you, I think it was 3 years ago, maybe four, you had mentioned kind of, you know, your pathway, what Planet 13 stood for, the letter M, the whole, you know, military aspect of, you know, you going through the service and, you know, your hand-blown glass 13 pendant that you had in the van. When you're looking at kind of putting that type of personality and that type of history, rich history in cannabis into a new dispensary location, what are some things that you take into consideration per location? Like, obviously, you want to meet the regional kind of feel and vibe, but how do you put the Planet 13 kind of touch onto each location?
You know, we want to take our experience that we like. If it impresses us, we're going, wow, we want to bring that to the people. But you're exactly right in what you said. We've got to melt into the atmosphere and the culture of the area we're in. So everyone will be different, but everyone will be over the top with experiential type entertainment for the people. That's the biggest plus for us, especially right now while we kind of got into this, is we get shut down, as all every cannabis company does, on Facebook and all the different media, social media, because they find out you're a marijuana company and they shut you down. You've got to open up again. So the way we're able to get our information actually around the world is we come in and we encourage all the video and still photography you want, right? Mm-hmm. From the van with the Cheech and Chong van to the robots to the orb that you mentioned. They take a picture and say, you got to see this place. And they do a little video, and they give it to their friends, and they give it to their friends, and it just keeps on creeping out the social media. So it's been so successful that way. Whether we're fishing in Florida last year on a fishing trip down off of the Gulf over there, and our guide says, oh, I love Planet 13 too. My partner going to Rochester for a checkup in Minnesota. They find out he's from Planet 13 and one of the founders, and he's a celebrity, and even the doctor and nurses want to take a picture with him. It really put our pants on the same as anybody. We're not a celebrity, but to every place we go, it surprises us all the time. But everybody knows what Planet 13. We're very happy to see it. We see how successful it's been, and what we're trying to do and what we've accomplished.
Well, and it's an absolute rarity, again, to have that kind of draw as a retailer that's not been built up from a celebrity brand. But the reason why I think that you guys have that is because it's so different than everything else that currently exists in cannabis. As far as, obviously there are retail stores that have experiential aspects to it. But I mean, Planet 13 Las Vegas is literally a strip mall of cannabis. I mean, it's massive. I mean, for people that have not been there, to be able to see the size and the scale of what you guys have accomplished as a cannabis retailer is mind-boggling, and especially when you go overseas to, say, Holland, or you go to Spain and you start to see what their cannabis experiences is, it's a night and day difference. I mean, you guys definitely put the Las Vegas into cannabis.
When
you're looking at the Las Vegas market, obviously a lot of changes have happened in the last couple of years. We've had the sunset clause and social use, social licensing. We've had now most recently the possession charges or the possession limits change from 1 ounce to 2 ounces, effectively doubling possession limits here in the state. What are you guys looking for as far as your social consumption experience? I know you guys are trying to build kind of your nightclub situation. And I believe when I last talked to Bob, he had mentioned that you guys were looking at possibly putting a day club on the roof. What do you want to accomplish with social consumption, as opposed to what other dispensaries are accomplishing in the area? And how do you feel that social consumption will take off in Clark County, considering it's been kind of regulated and restricted for so long and with such high penalty? Do you think that this will be the new alcohol for Las Vegas?
Well, let me just say, most of the people are going to open consumption lounges. It won't be a big money maker for them, most of them. And the reason is because you go into a bar and you'll have 1 to 5 drinks. Well, you go into a lot of these small little places, and most of them are in a strip mall. They don't have a lot of room for a consumption lounge. And everybody's stressed for money in the first place. So what, are you going to buy one joint? You get stoned on a joint, you're done buying, and you're just sitting there mellowing out. How's anybody going to make any money? Mm. We, on the other hand, because we're Planet 13, have about a 3,000 square foot experience, and this is going to be literally over the top, eclectic, is almost we haven't done in this type arena before. Everything from old English phone booths outside, that when you go in, you push where the phone is, and magical, the door opens and you walk into the consumption lounge that way. Everything from old Pac-Man games to pinball machines to the bar you can sit at, or VIP lounges in there, totaling probably about 3,000 square feet. So it will really be over the top again. We are so happy with it. We're about 90% done. Along with that, and it'll be where the end of the van is, that wall there. That wall is going down. In fact, it's down already. We got a temporary wall up. And that grand hallway extends another 125 feet and expands into, instead of 30 foot wide, 60 feet wide. Nice. In there then will be the consumption lounge on the left. Farther past that is the new cannabis cannabition museum, 14,000 square feet, two-story, all interactive. And then on the right hand side, hopefully in 8 months or so, as Bob had said, we're starting our nightclub, which is non-cannabis alcohol in a traditional nightclub, but over the top nightclub. We're about 95% done with that also. But this will have things that no place in Vegas has, no club in Vegas has, what we're putting into this club. About 50,000 square feet, 3 stories high.
Oh, Jesus.
And again, the top story at the day club that Bob talked about, your hit is 40 feet in the air. You're above all the buildings behind you. We've literally taken lifts with baskets on to go up and shoot videos to see what is the view like and put it into our presentation videos. And it's nothing like in the world to be able to see the entire strip from 40 feet in the air at a day spa.
I mean, that's incredible. So as far as the phone booths and stuff like that, like you're going for more of like a speakeasy / barcade vibe kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, we want a little really different. Even when you go in, there's not like a here's a, you know, smoky lounge, you know.
Right.
I'm forgetting the name. We're looking for a different kind of cool name. But it's a big old-fashioned English phone booth. And when as if you'd walk into a phone booth, there's your phone normally on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Where you push that door or push that phone there, and the whole wall opens. The whole door opens into a secret door then to go into the consumption lounge.
Well, as a fan of both speakeasies and barcades, I can't wait to see that put into implementation. That sounds amazing. When is you said you're at about 90%?
We'll be open first quarter of next year.
First quarter of next year. Excellent. Yep. Excellent. And then as far as finalizing everything with VitaCan and starting that transition, you expect it to start in a couple months, first part of next year?
Well, we hope January. We've got everything done on our end between us and VitaCan, all the agreements done. It's strictly governmental approvals and everything that we're waiting for. Other than that, we're ready to go full steam forward.
Awesome. Now I know you've got your space here in Nevada. I know you have your space in California, about to open up, I believe, in Illinois, trying to open now, largely open in Florida. What other markets are kind of interesting to you guys from an acquisition or a licensing perspective? And are you going to be focusing mainly on these markets for now, or are you trying to do another expansion within the next, say, year?
Well, we're focusing on these markets. We think Florida is going to be one of the best markets in the country, first of all. But we always have our ear to the ground and willing to talk to anyone. There's so many. We're getting two or three calls a week on people that used to want 2 years ago all cash. Then they wanted a year later all cash, half cash, half stock. Now they're calling, we'll take all stock. Please just help us out. Take this. But again, so many are so heavily in debt. So
yeah. If
that's the case, you know, we'll see you later. But if we can find somebody like another VitaCan in another state, it makes sense for us and for all of our investors. We always have our ears open. I have nothing on the top of my head what we have or we're doing right now, but we're always keeping our eyes and ears open and see what opportunities are out there. And we think there'll be more and more, you know, as people struggle to survive in this crazy industry with the excess taxes and regulations and all the goofy rules that the government set up.
We would like to thank Larry for his time and being on today's episode. If you would like to find out more about Planet 13, you can visit them online at www.planet13.com. And that'll do it for us today. Make sure to stay tuned to the next episode here on Conversations in Cannabis.